This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. What a weekend of football. Some of the best matches of the year. Want to recap some of the highlights shortly from a discussion point of view. Apologies, bit late today. Had a bit of a hiccup. Left the rooms last night from the euphoria. One of the best things I've watched in football, Jamie Elliott's mark and goal post-siren or on the siren yesterday, but left the MCC car park and got bogged. So thanks to Soph and her team down there at the MCC, managed to get out this morning. I've borrowed Tara's car. It's now very, very muddy. She's particularly unimpressed. I'll go and attend to that this afternoon, but on to more important matters in terms of the round of football. What an incredible situation. The draw Friday night, should have, would have, could have, in particular for Bolter, Cumberland, who was distraught. It was difficult seeing that, and Richmond, but they were important points from a top eight perspective, particularly for Fremantle and the top four, and also Richmond. It was an incredible result. The Cats and Port game, that was pretty epic. The Cats just got the job done in the end. There was some injury fallout from that. The Bulldogs kicked 110 points in a shootout at Marvel to beat Melbourne. Some little questions regarding Melbourne. I actually interviewed Christian Petrarca for 7 News this morning, one-on-one at his house. You'll see that tonight. It's interesting his response on that. He's actually looking forward to the fact that they will be tested over the next 3 or 4 weeks against some good sides. He thinks it's a good test, in particular, leading into the finals. Jamari Ugle-Hagan coming of age. We knew he had so much promise. Full credit to the Bulldogs, in particular Luke Beveridge, that's backed him and put the time into Jamari. There's been all sorts of commentary regarding his potential and whether he should be in the side and all sorts of things. As the number one draft pick, kicked 5 goals. It was a great performance. Collingwood and Essendon yesterday producing one of the best finishes I've seen. They've been lucky, the Pies, but you'd have to say they've got incredible belief now. 9 wins in a row, and they've won against the likes of, you know, Carlton 4 points, Hawthorn 4 points, the Giants 11 points, the Suns 5 points, North Melbourne 7 points, Adelaide 5 points, Essendon 4 points. You could not make that up. Elliott's goal was incredible. I mean, in terms of where the ball dropped, there were 2 Essendon defenders there, not to mention the fact that it went coast to coast. And then he didn't deviate from his line on the siren, wasn't put off, and just set it out on the left goalpost and just drifted back through the middle of, well, effectively through the middle of the big sticks. It was absolutely incredible. One of the best things I've seen in football. When I spoke to Christian Petrarca this morning, he thinks they're schooled at Melbourne, that the chances down the wing of going coast to coast, and this is Melbourne, are perhaps the best side or equal to it in the competition, they think that's about a 4% chance. So the Bombers will be mulling over that today. Obviously, Jones missed that shot that would have put them more than 6 points up with about 40 seconds to go. They almost certainly would have won had he have kicked that. And obviously, it's just going coast to coast. That's almost unheard of. And they'll be mulling over that video today. Obviously, a few players were out of position, but it was just incredible viewing. You feel like the Pies are lucky to be in the top four, but at the same time, I guess you make your own luck in a way. And there obviously is massive, massive belief within that group. It was just an incredible round of football.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jack Ginnivan ducking head-high issue is gathering momentum. Last week, the AFL changed the interpretation, in effect, they won't say it, but in effect, for the Ginnivan example. There's now real concern that he's effectively being umpired out of the game. He only had 5 touches yesterday, Jack, didn't get a free kick. And the non-free kick in particular is what's causing lots of discussion today. Now, there's lots of different angles to this. Collingwood Craig McRae post-game yesterday said he thinks it was a mistake on the part of the umpires. I don't think Collingwood will formally take it up with the AFL, although they do engage, obviously, in discussions and review each week, like most teams, with the AFL. But Mason Cox, who I spoke to post-game last night, thinks it wasn't interpreted correctly yesterday, that particular example with Ginnivan. And he's weighed in on Twitter today with this particular tweet. He said, "Wild to think high tackles were put in the game to protect players' health and now being blatantly ignored for a 19-year-old. How can we think the AFL cares about concussions and head-high contact after this?" And he showed the example. So that's pretty strong language from Mason Cox today regarding Ginnivan. I mentioned he's sort of being umpired out of the game. I mean, he'll struggle to hold his spot if he's not kicking goals. He was in effect kicking goals sort of through not going to ground, but obviously drawing some free kicks. That was contributing to his 30-odd goals this season. He only had 5 touches yesterday, Ginnivan, so it's a huge challenge now for Collingwood in terms of, I guess, approaching this issue, and even for Ginnivan. So there's a lot of different layers to all that, but that was Mason Cox's observation on that today.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
It's getting close to finals time and injuries are beginning to count big time. They always do, but there's some big names from the weekend that I'll go through. This is only a limited injury list. There's probably more, but these are the ones on my radar. Nat Fyfe, obviously, with that hamstring Friday night. That's a significant concern for Fyfe. Hasn't been able to train extensively because of his shoulder issues, his back issues, all those types of issues. And now he's got these soft tissue issues. So that's a significant concern for the dual Brownlow medalist. Adam Treloar, caught up with him at scans yesterday, the Bulldog star. He has suffered a calf issue. Now, the Bulldogs will obviously have to come out this week and say how long that is. Typically, calves are 1, 2, 3 weeks. So that's a concern for Treloar, who's in really, really good form. Maynard yesterday had the shoulder strapped and suffered another, was subbed out with another shoulder injury. So Collingwood will probably update that this afternoon, but some significant concern for Maynard. Hopefully he can get it restrapped and play on, but you never know those things. Sometimes they need surgery, or at least at the end of the year, but whether he needs it now or not, that's what Collingwood will be assessing. Stanley, Reece Stanley, an important player for the Cats, returned yesterday with what Geelong described as a medium-term knee injury. Mitch Cleary will have more on that tonight on 7 News. We've been down there this morning, but that's obviously a huge concern for the Cats, and in particular Stanley. Walsh yesterday for the Blues with his ankle, Wiedering with his, I think it was a hamstring. They both played out the game, so hopefully they're relatively okay. But again, just on the injury radar, a couple of Pies players, Dugowie expected to play seniors for Collingwood and return this week. Craig McRae indicating they'll be more cautious with Brody Grundy. They want to get a game into him, ideally through the VFL, which wasn't on for their team on the weekend, but ideally. So I think they'll hold off on Grundy, but some big injuries from the weekend.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The medical substitute issue was in the spotlight, particularly on Friday night with Miller coming off with body cramp and Rioli Jr. coming on. I'm not questioning Richmond's doctor, but I'm just looking at the fact that obviously it's a discussion point, certainly. Usually to qualify for the medical sub, the doctor and the club has to be of the reasonable view and satisfaction that the player would miss 12 days. Look, it's difficult with a body cramp because that can translate into a soft tissue situation, if you don't come off. So I appreciate all that, and that's beyond my ambit, what actually was the matter with Miller. But I think it's fair to say that the AFL will obviously review that this week as part of Dr. McDeesey, who's the chief medical officer's usual review of the medical substitutes. That's just standard practice. And I think the AFL will look, Brad Scott will look at the broader issue of the use of the medical substitute at the end of the season. They obviously review all sorts of policies, but it's my impression that the AFL will look at that. What do you do with the medical sub? Well, the history of it was that it was going to be a concussion sub. Then the coaches, in particular Alistair Clarkson, lobbied heavily for it to be a medical sub, and they made that change sort of at the last minute in the end. Look, you could remove it altogether. If you activate it, perhaps you could offer the other team the ability to activate it as well. You could make it a mandatory 12 days, a bit like concussion, if you activate the medical sub. At the moment, if you activate the medical sub, the player can obviously come back the following week. There's no paperwork or extensive requirements there. The other one I thought of this morning is you could basically let a club, because the medical sub gets paid anyway. They paid their match fee. So perhaps if you haven't activated the medical sub by halftime, you can activate it at your discretion in the second half. And I reckon that would be sort of fair for both sides. So there's a few different models in all that, but I think the AFL will definitely review it at the end of the year.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
And I'll finish off with some trade talk. The season is tremendously exciting, so I'm sort of a bit conscious to sort of get bogged down in trade talk, but everyone does love it. In terms of, this is sort of the latest snapshot of the landscape as I see it at the moment. It's my understanding from speaking to a club over the weekend, they're of the opinion that Rory Lobb has informed Fremantle of his decision to seek a trade at the end of the year. Fremantle's certainly aware of that, in my view. So I think Lobb will be off to the Bulldogs eventually. There's a lot of water to pass under the bridge there, but I think he passed up on the Saints, and I think the Bulldogs will land Lobb. In terms of Jacob Hopper, I've been told this morning that he will want to go at the end of the season and is obviously canvassing and speaking to a number of clubs, particularly in Victoria. I think the Cats, Geelong, are right into Jacob Hopper. Taranto, I think, will be Collingwood or Richmond eventually. A lot of water to pass under the bridge there. But Tim Taranto, I think, will go to Collingwood or Richmond. And as I mentioned last week, a lot of interest in Dow, particularly from Geelong and Richmond as well. So a lot to shape out in that regard, and lots more players will come up in the next few weeks. But the trade landscape at the moment is a lot more mature, I think. Like, for example, we discussed last week Brayshaw meeting with the Bombers. The world didn't end. That's just what free agents are entitled to do. And we're clearly trending towards the acceptance of these types of situations, you know, in American and European sports, which is the way the AFL's gone for a long time. That wraps up a big news podcast today. Thanks so much for joining me. Don't forget to join us again on Thursday and Friday. It'll be a big news week. I'll update the social channels as and when big stories come to hand. I've got Christian Petrarca on the news tonight. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.